Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord for another exciting training day, brand new training year even. Amen. Praise God. Giving honor to Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. And all the saints and friends throughout the world, all the ministers and brothers and deacons and new friends. Amen. I say praise the Lord. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we just ought to be glad and rejoice in it. You know, I just thank God for this opportunity again to come before you. Amen. As I look forward, amen, you know, despite what's going on in the world, we have an answer. Amen. And that answer is Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We do praise you. We do bless you. We do give you honor and glory. And we thank you for this day, for this day that you have made. We thank you that you allow us to participate in it with you. Father God, we're asking that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless him more the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints already, and the great and exceeding power that you made available for them that will submit and obey you, and we thank you for it. Father, we ask you strengthen us with might, particularly those that are going through bereavement and those going through financial challenges right now. Bless them with the revelation that they need to be successful, because your word destines us for success. Bless us, Lord, with the knowledge of your will. Give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we can walk upright before you and be fruitful in every good work. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. And we thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. You know, I'm going to finish up today on praise for power. You know, I know it's an area that very few teach on. But it's, you know, it's amazing. Like I said, we have to get past reading the Bible and reading scriptures like a bunch of cliches that are only going to manifest when Jesus come back. But that's not what it says. The book of Revelation tells us what's going to happen when Jesus come back. That's going to be a different situation. That's not now. The point of it all, prayer and praise, is for us to get a basic understanding of the great power that God has made available, his willingness, his ability to do what he promised that he would do, and how this all works together. Remember, this all goes back to the why God created man. Man, God wanted a family. But he didn't want a family like angels. He wanted a family like himself, just like most men and women would. You know, children after their own kind. Even though there'll be some differences in their behaviors, the basics will be the same. You know where they came from. You know, one of the terms that I use is for a son of God is manifestation of. You know, when I see a son, when somebody see me, they know that a man named Robert Overall at one time existed. Because I'm his son. And that's what Jesus is. The Bible calls him in the book of Timothy, or Paul called him, the express image of God. You have to understand, particularly for new people, three things describe God that don't fit no one else. And that'll tell you who God is and who isn't. He is one, omnipotent. That means there is nothing beyond his ability that he can't do. Two, he is omniscient. That means there's nothing he don't know. To be an omniscient God, you got to know the future accurately, as well as the past and everything in between. You know, I was thinking today in Genesis 1:26 when it said, "Male and female created he them." At that particular time, which is an estimated 6,000 years ago, God knew everybody that was going to be born, what their life cycle was going to be, what was going to happen in their lives, and how their lives was going to end up in what part, whether they was going to end up in heaven or hell. He knew all that then. Because what you see played out from Genesis chapter 2 on through is a manifestation of something he already know. So we wonder, with God with all these capabilities, why is life such a challenge as it is? Well, it's because he made man with capabilities, but man doesn't quite understand. He don't have the mindset, particularly in the area of love, and particularly, specifically, agape love, as it is called in the Greek. And that's not really, that's a love in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And if you read it, it says nothing about emotion. It's all about making decisions, and decisions that will be for the benefit of someone else. It means that God has gifted you with a power to bring benefit in someone else's life. That's what prayer is about, and that's what praise is about. Praise is a multiplier of power, particularly in challenging situations. You know, so let's go to our base scripture on this, Psalm 150. And it reads, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his surpassing greatness, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet, praise him with the harp and the lyre, praise him with the tambourine and dancing, praise him with the strings and flute, praise him with the clash of cymbals, praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, in the King James, it uses the term psalteries. Those of you have probably been to a football game or seen one on there, and you see part of the musicians, the marching band. They have this group of people with drums that are smaller than the bass drums. Well, those with psalteries are, they're small drums. Small drums that you would beat without a drumstick in some cases, but now they use drumstick, but that's just an FYI. You know, the thing about it is, you know, like I've said in the previous lesson, and praise is mentioned 340 times, then you got rejoice mentioned about 250 times. You know, and these events occur in challenging situations, or after you done come through a situation. But it's designed, it is, as it says, we read, matter of fact, we might well go ahead and read Ephesians 5:18, because and there's no time like now that you really want to know how to get through. Right now, as you see throughout the world, you know, I saw an experiment that most people didn't see. I'm lacking a term, but anyway, I saw two events, one in Greece and one in Spain. And what they did was they cut their retirements in half. When they did Greece, they just cut it, okay? It's a term to describe it. Bottom line is, the Greek government don't have the money to pay it out. But that's because the leadership in the government and probably half the citizenship have kicked God out. See, it makes a difference who your God is. And never more than the ever than now. My bass is getting crooked on me. Having trouble here. Technical difficulty with my glasses. Anyway. So they cut the people's pension in half, and quite naturally, you done worked 40, 50 years, you know, you want what you was guaranteed or what they promised you. So if you hear noise, it's like I said, I'm trying to adjust here. Still trying to get adjusted. That'll make you angry because you got to live the rest of your life hustling and bustling. I mean, you done already hustled and bustled so much. that you know, just give me what I want to do. You know, it's strange though. You know, I heard it. I was listening to it. Say, a rabbi called Everybody Needs a Rabbi, and he's like a go-between. He answers questions that people have about Judaism anyway. And one of the things that the Jewish language does not have is a word for retire. See, you slow down. Like back historically, the priests, which are about to come back into an existence in the fullness, because that's a Bible prophecy for those of you that want to know. you know, the one thing about the Bible, it tells you what's going to happen in the future. And priests, generally, they work from the age. They train up to the age of 30. Then they go into the priesthood, and then they would work for 30 to 50. And then after that, they would become teachers. You know, it's sad that, well, I know things are different in Christianity. You know, we still haven't figured out who the priesthood is, well, sadly. And that's what's going on in the world. And matter of fact, let's read what I say, Ephesians 5:18. And what is here is in Ephesians 5:18 is how you access power. See, is there's power. And the reason I'm sharing this is because, one, like I said, people are going through some really depressing situations. One of the guys that I'm retired, but one of the guys that trained me when I was retiring, that trained me in the booking process, I used to be a deputy sheriff, he just passed away last week. You know, last year, 50 people that I know are no longer here. You know, I know some of them were saved. I know some of them said they were saved. You know, the truth is sitting out. You know, I thank God some folk. One of the things about it, this is what I call a Gen 50-20 effect. And Gen 50-20 is from, I get that from Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. In which Joseph speaks that what Satan had, what was meant for evil, God has turned into good. And in this situation is shaking out some Christians. They're like, they recalculating their process. I know some of them are struggling with idolatry. Excuse me, struggling with that idolatrous way because it's powerful. If idolatry wasn't powerful, it wouldn't have the impact that it has. That's what's going on in the world right now. They still don't want just God, but they don't understand. When there's God in your life, he said in Psalm 37, verse 4, I believe, he said, if you delight yourself in him, he'll give you the desires of your heart. So you don't have to break your neck, because all this stuff is temporary. All this stuff is temporary. You know, I know somebody, they got, you know, who wants, they got money and bad health. No, give me good health. I don't even want healing. I want divine health. That's what I got, divine health. Amen. But here Paul is saying in verse 5:18, he said, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Like I said, Paul is not beating up on folk to drink because he realized that they're coming from a cultural change and that having never experienced tasting the Lord and seeing that he is good, He took a compassionate way to introduce him something. Say, look, this is what you got to do. See, of course, then we got it easy. We got the whole book of Psalms. They couldn't go to the bookstore and download or go online and download the Psalms and read through them. You know, we do have all that. Speaking back to God, you know, bring back his word to us, singing it to him. See, all this goes, that's the whole point. It goes back to God, and you never come up empty. A lot of people, it's just what they get from him oftentimes isn't immediately what they want, but they don't realize God deals with what's really important. He knows what you're about to go through. You have no clue. You could not tell me what's going to happen in the next 15 minutes. For all you know, one of them little football-sized meteor could hit your house and collapse your house. That has happened. Believe me, I've seen meteors knock out, drop through the hood of a car and take the motor out. That just blew my mind. Thing about the size of a baseball. Okay, people, you know, this is amazing. See, being close to God is critical, always been critical. People don't know how easy it is to leave this place. That is not the problem. The problem is leaving here not knowing that you go to heaven. 1 John 5:12 said that you might know. You should know. But God got a way of revealing things. But the whole, again, all this links back to my base teaching of the God-man. That we must master love under pressure. If unless God changes it next week, I'm going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And that's something. We're not talking about going to pick an apple tree and some oranges and sweet tasting stuff. We're talking about making life sweet in a sour situation. Because that's something basically, it's commanded of us. If it's commanded of us, there's no excuse other than being organically brain damaged that we can give God for not doing it. Because you're not getting points for it. Okay? I don't get points for not cussing nobody out. Okay? What I do illustrate to him is how significant he is to me. How important his word is to me. God is not worried about somebody, me being, if somebody called me a name and I don't do nothing, that impresses God. Now, it may not impress people. That's why you see people say, you just take that. You say, I wouldn't take that. You know what? Let me tell you something. Anybody don't like you don't like God. And then if God is not merciful, I've seen some horrible events come up on people in the Bible and in life. Let me tell you about a situation that I had in my own experience. I was talking, young lady asked me some questions. We were sitting in a room, it was a bunch of people that I work with. Now I was reading the word, and she asked me about fornication. So explained it, what it meant. Not just a part of having sex, but what it does to the person and how it affects their power, how it affects their spirit. Anyway, this guy sitting on the side decides he wants to get into the conversation and start saying a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm really was amazingly calm because I already know the fact that everything he's saying is he almost basically wanted to quantify or say that and he was that only affects certain Christians. You know, I ain't going to name this denomination, but they don't believe that. And I'm quite sure that if he'd asked his pastor, he would have found out he was wrong. But anyway, he just convinced that he was, you know, it looked like he was angry enough, getting angry. You know, folk hate you for standing for Jesus. Anyway, I didn't see him at work the next day. So, and then people... It was a strange atmosphere, you know. And then somebody came up to me, one of the guys I trained with, and told me what had happened. A young man at the age of 35 years old had 5 massive heart attacks. See, it didn't. He left himself open for the devil. See, that's another reason why we have to manage ourselves. See, like I say, if you connect what I'm talking about praising God, it'll help you keep your cool. See, that's the whole point. See, that's why Paul make this analysis. Why do people drink? I mean, you life trauma, going to work every day, work, particularly if you got to go work for one of them, I don't like to say bipolar because it's a serious situation, but it describes a person that basically just off the chain, so to speak. When you got to go and work for somebody like that, that you really would just like to take a 9mm and put one through the head, but you gotta keep your self control, okay? But then when you use all this energy to resist the temptation to take them out, you need a relief. You need a release. And that's why a lot of people go home and de-stress. And now, like I said, no way am I condemning them, you know. Fortunately, they make non-NAs, non-alcoholic wine that I never liked the alcohol. That's how come I became a drug daddy, drug addict, because I didn't like alcohol. Make you feel sleepy. I wanted to feel alive. But anyway, even at that, back then, I mean, the night that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's what happened. You know, when you be at church, and like I say, I'm not omniscient, so I don't know. And I'm gonna tell you something. I don't care who be faking, because if I thought you was faking, okay, rather than put you down, I would pray for you because you have a need. If you are faking in church that everything is all right, or you faking trying to, you know, I know people try to quote pretend they got the Spirit, you know, which is, that's just being under bad teaching. Pray for you because you're facing some challenges. And that what that does for me, Galatians 6:1 said it, if I get into a situation where I'm overwhelmed by the devil, because that's what causes that, then God is going to assign somebody to pray for me. See, I can't wait till I get to speaking in tongues so I can show you how God can use you to help somebody that's dealing with something without him telling you all their business. See, that's called coded language. That's God, the God code. They got them books out, the Bible code. Well, they got the Bible code. You know, I believe it. But, so what I'm telling you, I know a lot of churches treat this, I've been to them, you know. Like I said, I'm a want-to-know type of guy, so I go to churches and I see and I talk to people. And for them, it's a ritual. They've never been taught that there's really, here, Paul is telling you, be filled with the Spirit. Then listen, that in no way, that uses the word ruah. And when you get into it, it's a word that almost, it's kind of like life. It just evolves. It brings life. It breathes. When it breathes, it expands life. It affects all that life needs. It causes to happen. What did God do when he made Adam? He picked up some dirt and he breathed into him. They use a different term in the Hebrew, but it's still the same impact. He put in there a capability of development of the man to mankind to bring about that individual, to allow him to do what he needed to do. You know, Adam had to dress the garden. He didn't go to a gardening school, you know. He had to do everything. He didn't have to go. God brought the animals to him to see what Adam would call them. See? So when you are praising God, you're drawing more on his power because that allows you access to heaven. You know, I wanted to see an important part here. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. Chapter 29, and you got to understand, these folks is about to go to war, and it is a war. They about to basically have a party, so to speak. They're gonna have a praise party, you know. And let's go to verse 21. I, you know, you got to go back and read this on your own. You got to read. This is why it's necessary. Read the book of Chronicles. Never read without praying, because God will show you some things. Because we're dealing with the same God and the same devil. The only thing different between our times, the way we deal with the types of challenges we have somewhat different, but not really. We're not about to go into a war. In the next war, we'll be up out of here. You know, that's another thing. Well, the Bible talks about World War III, y'all. So it's in Ezekiel 38:39, who wins and all that. But anyway, so before all this, you know, it says, and then Hezekiah the king rose up early and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord, and they brought seven bullocks and seven rams and seven lambs, and he goes for a sin offering. First thing you do before you go, you know, a lot of time, particularly when I've been out in public or, that was one of the issues I remember in a debate about Job. Did Job open the door up? My personal opinion is Job was a prophet-level individual with a relationship with God, and God could afford to let him go through that trial because he knew how it was going to come out from the day one. He knew everything that was going to happen, you know. But Job is a powerful individual. Job is mentioned throughout history. Think about that. That event is mentioned throughout here, both the Old and the New Testament. You got to be saying something about your life for God to mention you. There's a lot of people in the Bible, but he was mentioned in both the Old Testament for his faith. And if you go and read it, it seemed like it, when it got down to the end, he failed. Because God kind of called him a dummy in Job 38:2. 38:2? Yeah, if you read it. Because he called him you who have no knowledge, and you know when a person has no knowledge what you're saying. But anyway, so they brought him and they killed the he goes and down there. And I want to get to verse 25. And he said to Levites in the house of the Lord, and cymbals and psalteries and harps, and according to the commandment of David and Gad, king, the king's seers, Nathan the prophet, for so was the commandment of the Lord but for his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David and the priests of the trumpets. My point here is, you know, when you're commanding spiritual warfare, okay? What impresses God or tells God that you believe what you believe is your mindset and your conversation up to and through the challenge that you're facing, okay? And without question, remember, I was getting challenged, but nobody has brought a biblical challenge to the fact, because there ain't none, really, that God let the devil exist. He can wipe him out instantly. He's going to. He gonna slam that dude in a pit of fire, and that'll be the end of it. But it ain't now. Why? If not for the fact of training, see, again, like I said, the only way you're gonna learn this works is to get to that place where you put it to work. That is how I know it works. I had to get to that place, get past religion, get past me, and realize it worked. And like I say, I still sing my key, my A flat is a B flat or whatever. But that doesn't, my sincerity rates with God. God can tell on the inside of you that you believe what you believe. See, and what that says is all this is saying that you're beginning to understand that he has given you power to use. See, I tell you, before I pray, my first prayer in the morning, in whatever time I wake up, and believe me, I wake up at some strange hours, I always begin that one with praise. And then it's not unusual for me to praise God in the middle of the day. I saw this illustrated, you know. I saw this, you know, it's amazing. See, when you become aware of it, you see it and hear it more. I was walking down the street one day, and one of my neighbors was out working in their yards. And I could hear them singing praises to God. See, which makes it easy for me to approach and share. And, you know, that's a blessing, you know. Amen. But I'm telling you, this is you want this to become part. Now, let me get this key here. before I forget it, because I forgot it last time. That first part of the church that you like to stay home on, that you like to be late for because you don't think it's that important, that's when Ephesians 5:18 happened. When by the time, see, by the time they done prayed up and ushered the Holy Spirit in for the word, God done already handed out blessings, big blessings. Because as the people are praising, particularly those, if those that are praising, and you, listen, God knows you. Listen, I'm not you. Listen, always remember, there was one totally perfect person, and all of us are in what they call a work in process, okay? So if you knew it, this, don't let the devil convict you that you're not. God is an equal opportunity. He's a definitely equal opportunity God, you know, and you are as important. You probably don't know you are as important. So the fact that you didn't say everything right, listen, it may, some things gonna take you years, depending on everybody's situation different. God is not judging you by me, even with his word is concerned. I remember he told me years ago. He said we're working. I'm telling him. I was going, you know, typical challenge that people meet. You just seem like you can't get it right. And he said, well, look, this is how we're going to do this. We're going to work on this. And when we get that together, then we'll work on that. And I said, well, what about these? He said, let me worry about that. I'm God. In other words, he wasn't going, if, you know, he was going to give me the opportunity to overcome each challenge. And now over the years, you knock them off. You knock them down to the point they stop happening or they happen infrequently. You start looking at there's a time gap. But one of the key factors, see, I've been fortunate. I've only really been a member of 2.5 churches. But anyway, I cannot be in a church since I realize where they don't just love, where they can't praise God like nobody's watching, you know. Sometimes when you at church, and that astounds me. I know somebody had a need, and they stood in church quiet, and I'm looking at them, and now they have more of a need. God is not going. You can't wait on God to get a pastor everybody's revelation. And usually, what the God tell the pastor is what He has told you first. The pastor don't tell you something God ain't told you. He's not your God. God is. He co-signed, but he don't sign. He stopped. The same thing with prophets. Prophet can't prophesy to me something God ain't told me. You know, if God told me, then he can co-sign it. Then it's a witness for it. Be a witness for it. That's it. See, so I'm telling you, this is my point. I want to drive home. This is not an emotional expression. It is a love offering, and it is a spiritual sacrifice. I mean, come on now. You know you want to lay in bed on Sunday, even though you probably had 8 hours of sleep, but what you didn't know is all through your sleep you was fighting with Satan, and he's fighting you, trying to get you up. One of the things that made me start getting up and go to church was him saying, don't go. You're giving me a bunch of excuses not to go. And I'm like, wait a minute, who would not want me to go to church? The devil. Why? Because not only that, when you get to church and you got a man of God that's submitted to God, committed to God, everything that come out of his mouth is not going to be the total message. He's a port in a way to bring forth. That's what it's when you're talking about the anointing. He's a flow chamber. It's like a water hose that sprays over the congregation because there's so much that God does. See, this sounds simple, and it is, but what is happening when it is happening, when you are praising God, look at what it says. If you're going to be filled with the Spirit, whose Spirit? You're talking about God's Spirit. God's Spirit is smarter than your spirit. Smarter than mine, too. Okay? Some people be tripping. You always talking about us, but you don't never talk about yourself. I figure that would be automatic, but I know it ain't. But anyway, You're talking about it, and that's why it uses the capital S, the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That means it's dominating your thing. Now, you're running a business. If you're running a business, and I'm really giving that, God didn't already said no, but if I was going to get into a business, one of my goals is if I hire employees within 5 years, they will be at a living wage. If I can't believe God for that, then I'm missing something. Everything that I do should be linked to that. Okay? Like I said, when I praise God, I praise God. I have to control myself because I have a security position. And I'll be aware of things and people and threats and all kind of situations that go on that the public, the general body, don't know about, okay? And anyway, so I can't just at times, if I'm in service, if I'm in the security position, it ain't like if I'm somewhere else or I'm there and I'm not a security, because if I'm there, I'm listening. Has God been good to you? That's one reason to praise him. And remember last week I talked about we were fearfully, and I believe in Psalm 22. No, that wasn't it. That's what I don't want to miss that today. But anyway, we were fearfully made. Look at how we were made. I mean, we're barely getting this. We got hands. Look at this. Got 10 fingers. Well, I got 10 and 3 quarters anyway. 9 and 3 quarters, but one of them got a little chopped on. Still, and the sensitivity of it, the magnitude, the Spirit of God will assist you in everything you've got to do. You're going to college, the Spirit of God, you should be in the top 10. You know, you really should. Every time I've been in school, I've always been in the top 5. And I would even tell the young folk, y'all should be shaming y'all for letting me be at the top of the class, especially in math. But anyway, because again, but I understand the key. This is, we're supposed to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we think or ask. But a way to season yourself, a way to fill yourself up. You want to understand the word and how it's applied in your life. You want to read it and understand it. Take a few minutes and praise God. Listen, I'm going to take every day. Make 3 minutes. I'm telling you, because if you make 3, the blessing that's going to come from them 3 minutes is going to make you do it more. Those of us that understand, that's why we do it. Like I said, listen, you got to do this. Let's go to another one, Psalms 22:3. Because, again, like I said, with God, there's a consistency. It don't just happen one time. Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. And, okay. Psalm 22:3. It begins in verse 1 with the chief musician of Adullam, right? Adullam, Shehar, Psalm of David. But anyway, and this is one of them challenging times for David. And actually, I'm going to read this because this is it was prophetic. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Anybody remember that? Yeah, that was Jesus saying it up on the cross. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest praises of Israel. And let me read, I want to read that from the NIV. So what he's saying there is what you've probably heard, that God inhabits praise. So you bring, it says in the NIV, it says, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One, you are the praise of Israel. Okay. But anyway, you want to be in the present because it's like everything that I do, I know somebody that's smarter than me that does it. And therefore, I can go to them for information. And when they don't have the answer, even then, it doesn't matter what it is because, you know, I'm in the hot rod and I have problems that might arise and I might not be able to contact anybody. And it's really been amazing how often that the Holy Spirit will solve the problem, will tell me a solution, and, you know, give me a new idea. See, that ain't got nothing to do with church. See, church is supposed to prepare you for your everyday life to be to the best. See, everything that you need. So there is no I don't, I can't. It is I submit to God and I can. And that's the point, one of the main points I want you to get into this. You know, it's not God deserves the praise. There is no question about it. But he's such a loving God that there is an exchange that occurs with it at all time. And right now, I remember May 7, 1988, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and you can't forget it. The reason I can remember the date and the time is because I crashed a motorcycle at 95 miles an hour. It was ugly from the point of the first person that came to my rescue, okay? And it's just the thing, the events that how they occurred. God rescued me. That if he had not, we would not be having this conversation. I mean, I'd already be in heaven. And it's still, from what I've learned from somebody who not recently, maybe in the last about 10 years ago, went to heaven, was they confirmed what I believe. What you don't learn down here, you had to learn up then. I would hate to have to be in kindergarten in heaven. I mean, ain't a bad, you're in heaven, you ain't gonna get, once you get to heaven, you never get kicked out. But still, I wouldn't want to be in kindergarten like a lot of people. I see it all the time. People, they say go to the book of Psalms and they're looking in the New Testament. They tell them to go to the book of Chronicles and they're looking in the in the New Testament. You know, how is the word of God not important to you? You've been a Christian 10 years and haven't read the whole New Testament. What does that tell God? What does that say that he believes about, that you believe about his word? See, it's something. And when you get into this word, you'll read something today, come back 5 years, and it looked like somebody added something to the Bible, but in reality it was there then and God connected it and made it useful to you. I mean, we're dealing with something magnificent here. See, like I say, so again, my point is this: right now, with all this drama, you wanna. When it gets, I see people talking about how pressing and depressing it is. This is the answer. This is I will bless the Lord forever. Now, my most favorite one now. This is my worship, all of my worship. Receive my worship. Listen, if that song, you need to get that song, believe me. Because, I mean, and if you feel emotion, if you release emotion, that's not a bad thing because it impresses God. Listen, when you sing, God hear one voice in the many. He hears your heart singing to him. It means that to him. When you, particularly when you are bearing under a load, whatever it is. Now, look, I don't decide what the load is. You may just be $5 short on a bill. It matters to him that you will worship him. See, because it's an expression of faith and victory. That's the word for this year, winning and victory. Winning and victory. Okay, so I want to read one more. I want you to take these down. I want you to don't just hear this like, you know, the points you get for this will be when you beat the devil upside the head. And You know, like I said, you know, it's something. I know it's weird, you know, talking to a God that, you know, it's like, why can't he do it a different way? He didn't. You're dead out your head. Been there, done that, argued that. I don't, you know, I'm pretty sure every argument you can come up with has already been made. Okay? I mean, it is what it is. But again, praise and worship will bring you into his presence. That the presence of God ain't like anybody else's. It has an impact on your spirit that after a while it don't matter what's going on. You know, it's like you know that you know, and I've been there. You know, and I really don't think you get to the place where you ain't got to get someplace in God. I don't think that happens. You know, I know somebody right now, God is always giving them, well, I want you to get $20 million and go do this. But they had the place where if God said it, $20 million is out there. You know, we just paid off our church. We ain't worried about a mortgage company. $30 million don't have to be paid off. Amen. And God said, whatever you do, whatever sacrifice you make, and I believe it, the word of the Lord came forth and said he was going to help. If you got a mortgage, he'll help you pay yours off. The key to getting that is lining up with the word of God. Okay, I gave out them 7 reasons to call prayer failure. That's promise failure, prayer failure. Satan knows those rules. You cannot, things that block people from having power. Same thing with here. See, this is the other thing. You are not going to go praise God wholeheartedly, openheartedly, and be out of order and him not say something to you. I'm here to tell you, don't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the situation is. You know, you could be married, you could be saved, and the person not saved, God expects you to treat them as though they saved. You know, that's with the exception of violent situations. You're not required to stay in a violent situation. Just want to make that plain. But any other situation. Because if you get saved and your spouse don't get saved, that you hold the blessing of the household. God will bless your household. You do your part. You release the love. You release the power of God. And this is another thing. You do not have to shout out. You know, if you got a situation where, and I'm glad, thank you, Holy Ghost, where the your spouse might not like you praising God like that. You can't get out and sit in your car. You can whisper. You can sing praises. This is my worship. All of my worship. Receive my worship. I do it every night. I don't wake my wife up 3-4 o'clock in the morning. I get up when the Holy Ghost gets me up. And the fact that I sing at a low volume does not take away the significance of my singing. When I praise God. So I don't have to destroy. You see, you don't have to do that. I'm glad he brought that up. Because you don't have to. You can be at work. You can go sit out in your car. You do not have to ask like some of the people you know you don't want to be like. You don't have to prove. You don't impress people acting like that, you know, shouting, speaking in tongues in public at work and, you know, and You're there to work. You can go, you get lunchtime, take 5 minutes of your lunchtime and take 2 minutes of your lunchtime, particularly if you got a challenging job, take 2 minutes of your lunchtime and go and praise God. Okay, Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2. See, this is throughout the Psalms. I mean, it's throughout the Bible. It tells you how significant. It says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is great, is the great God and the great King above all gods. See, and it goes on. That's your God. I mean, do you think about it? He spoke and created this planet. One of the sure signs that his word is true, stomp your foot. The ground that you stomp on, he made with his word. That's your God. Now, again, I recently was challenged, and I understand people challenge when I talk about how much power a man has outside of the body. But I'm pretty sure I'm right. I'm pretty sure, because I'll never go to believing less. Because, again, when I look at all the pieces of the puzzle, why life is as challenging as it is. You know, I always want to forget, I think it's on Prime. They have a superhero series called The Boys. And what it is about, you should really watch it. You know, I guess you would call it PG. So if you got kids, you have to. But it's about superheroes. They show the human side of them, the frailties that they have. And I think it was an excellent representation of what I've been trying to convey. These guys got laser eyes. Okay, he can make lasers come out of his eyes, but if he get angry, he might laser somebody that don't need to be laser. You know, you got to understand the power that Jesus illustrated after his resurrection is the same level of power that you will have. That's deep. You know, to be able to walk through a wall, walk through a wall without tearing it up. To be able to fly without any type of vehicle, that's in Acts chapter 1. You know, John chapter 20, I believe. Walk through a wall. That same type of power right there could practically destroy anything if focused. I'm telling you, we are on to something. This is far beyond, and God want to show more, and I believe in the coming days before Jesus come back, he's going to take some of the leadership that are mature enough to handle it. And if you want to know why I say that, it's a book out that I think all of you should read called God's Generals, and it's about what happened. That's another illustration of men that God released tremendous anointing through. And it went to their head. And it really amazed me. And because you would think, knowing that it is not your power, it is not by your might. I can't heal nobody. All I can do is be a point of transfer between God and the person in need. And for that to swell your head, at the same time, I realize Satan is. He goes after leadership. That's primarily all he deal with. I know people be talking about the devil on their case. Now, that's the local demon. That's one of the small guys. But anyway, but I'm trying to tell you that one of the things you're going to need going forward, just like here, David, and they're singing, praising God. You're going to need that. And it's going to seem weird, you know. I mean, you won't always immediately, I remember when my mother passed, I couldn't immediately sing praises to his name. That was traumatic, you know. You go through a process, but you know what? God wasn't going to bring me forth. I had to choose to go forth. I could have wallowed in that. I could have asked questions, but I kept thinking about the fact of I could see my mother dancing. I imagine a person's first 7 years they've been dancing. It's a good thing they can't wear their feet out. I mean, you think about it. Listen, come on now. We got issues. And we get to heaven, we know we ain't get there on our own. And once you get there, you can't get kicked out. Come on now. What would you do? And then on their day off, then you know they got to have a Sabbath. They probably do Sabbath day up there. I'm just guessing. I didn't read that, look for that. I'm going to ask somebody that I know that's been over there. But anyway, at some point in time, God let them go visit the rest of the universe. We can't even go visit Boone yet. They don't want nobody to go up there because they don't want them to prove whether or not they've been there or not. But still, at 472 degrees below zero out there, you'd be able to go out there, travel through all space and see every place you that he created, and then come back and worship him. That'll make you worship him more. We've never been to the bottom of the ocean. It's 1,000,000 pounds of pressure. We know creatures go down there, but man has never been down there. They, the saints, they get to do all that. Everybody that died in Christ get to do all that. See, they don't just sit down. I mean, come on. Yeah. Experience of being in the presence of God, I can't even, the closest I've come to it, the closest you're going to come to it is through praise and worship. And even then, I'm telling you, there have been times when I would be praising God, and his presence would be so tremendous. I would press it to see how far it would go. I know what makes people fall out under. You know what? I remember the first time I did that. I was at church. We were praising God like nobody's watching. And it was like this big bolt of joy hit me, and I was out. And when I opened my eyes again, I was under a pew. I managed to get under there without even getting hurt. You know? But at the same time, you go home after that, and you pick up your word, and you read it, and watch the word of God jump out at you. See? When you experience that, go around somebody that's ill, because somebody with a need, and just pray for them and release that on them. See, you got something. I'm telling you, you've got power. And the one way to see it, you know, you get people that will realize you got the power. And that's what they say. God, the healing is God's calling card to the lost, and it'll bring them. Because a person that gets delivered, healed, they won't deny it. They won't deny it. When they know they was on death row, I've heard it many times. They were saying I was dying from cancer, and then the next hour was gone. See, how you gonna deny that when the doctors done wrote you off, and everybody done wrote you off, and the priest about to come in there and give you your last rites? Well, anyway, hope you got something out of that. And above all, I tell you what, you praise God, and you will have something. You will have something. Now, but again, to even get into the door where your praise count, you need to be in the body of Christ. And this is so simple that any child can do it. All you have to do is say this prayer. Lord God, I believe that Jesus is your son, and I believe he died on Calvary's cross for me. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin, and I ask your forgiveness, and I ask for salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And Father, I thank you that I am saved. I thank you for his blood. I thank you for your spirit, and I thank you for eternal life in Jesus' name. See how simple that was? See how simple? But like I say, you want to stay with this. You want to stay prayerful. You want to stay praiseful. There are lots of praise songs. There's praise and there's worship. But the more time you spend with God, with that, doing that, the more time, the more he's going to reveal to you. And with that, I'm going to say shalom and stay safe. And remember, prayer works by faith, faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. So I got to record.
destroyed. I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the